am so sorry. Please forgive me. Man, forgiveness is tricky. I mean, what if they're not even sorry? I don't have to forgive them then, right? Or what if it was really bad? We're going to try to figure out and talk about this forgiveness right here, right now, in the corner of truth and life. Hello and welcome to the Corner of Truth and Life. This is Ira Hall and we are now into March. This is the first week of March if you are keeping up to date on either the radio or on our podcasts. And we're talking about forgiveness. And oh man, that's a tough one. Now, my wife and I are raising our four children. And one of the things, of course, as will come as a surprise to no one, they have conflict with one another. About the other day, I had to step in the middle of an all-out war between my three children over playing Monopoly. Because, well, you know, Monopoly, it's serious business. And there was disagreement on the rules and disagreement on the money and disagreement on the role. And it was rough. And suddenly I've got to be the great Solomon judge here who can try to bring, and, you know, there was no way that I was going to make it okay, because no matter what, somebody is not going to think it's fair. And it didn't matter whether it was truly fair or not. It only mattered if they felt it was fair. And yeah, it was, well, you know, if you have ever dealt with this with children or just adults, yeah, when you feel wronged, you're angry, you're frustrated. And forgiveness, well, boy, that's a tough one. And then, you know, that's just a Monopoly game, and yet I had tears. When it becomes something much greater, well, then you start getting grudges, and you start getting, oh, it just builds up over time. And I see this in churches, I see it in towns, I see it in national government. Where, well, you know what they did, and pretty soon, you know, my tribe's against your tribe, or my family, or my friends, whatever, because, you know, do you know what they did, what they said about me, or whatever, and it just kind of builds up. We've watched recently in national politics some politicians who did things when they were young, in college, or whatever, and then it was, well, gee, do we let that go, or do they have to answer for it now? Is there forgiveness? Again, how sorry do they need to be? And it just gets complicated, and especially when our emotions are tied into it. So, well, let's dig into this a little bit today from truth. Because Peter, you know, one of the apostles, one of the disciples, he was struggling with it too, as we all do. And here's Jesus teaching about love and forgiveness. And so Peter, he thinks he's a pretty good guy. So he comes to Jesus and he says, Jesus, you know, this forgiveness thing. If my brother sins against me, if he breaks faith with me, how many times do I need to forgive him? Seven? And Peter's thinking, man, I'm a forgiving guy. And Jesus, I mean, he's basically looking for an attaboy here. He's looking for Jesus to go, oh, Peter, that's so good. I'm so proud of you. Seven times. How generous of you. And it doesn't know how it works. Instead, Jesus says, oh, Peter, no, nope, not seven. Why don't we start with 70 times seven, which basically means so many you won't be able to keep track. And then, just to be real clear with Peter that he's not saying, oh, well, give him a few more chances, Jesus then tells a story. And the story is Jesus trying to convince Peter, trying to help Peter understand what his attitude towards being forgiving should be. And it's a rugged story. He says that there was this king who a certain one of his subjects had gotten into significant debt. I mean, it was big. In fact, it was so big that even though this guy probably had some means to him, he's probably a noble or whatever, that he's in too deep. And even with time, he probably cannot really pay all this back. So he ends up getting hauled before the king, and he makes a tearful, full, "I'm sorry, I can't pay all this, it's awful, you know," and then he expresses his remorse and all that, and asks for more time, asks for more mercy to not have to pay all this back yet, because it's too much. And the king looks at the guy and says, "You know what? I love you. I appreciate you. And I'm not going to give you more time. Instead, here's what we'll do. We're just going to forgive the whole debt. I'm just going to cancel it. I'm going to write it off, and you're free. You don't have to pay me back. Not only don't you have to pay me back now, you don't have to pay me back later. Let's consider the matter closed." Wow. What an offer. What a marvelous gift this king has given this guy. And so he walks out of the meeting with the king, and he's got to feel relieved. But at the same time, he's just come out of some real anxiety here because, he's kind of examining his cash flow here. He's got debt on his mind. He's got money on his mind now because he couldn't pay back. And while he's no doubt grateful, maybe he's also feeling maybe a little ashamed that he couldn't pay back. And maybe he's a little irritated with what his personal economy looks like right now. And it just so happens that shortly after leaving the king's presence, he bumps into somebody who owes him a minor amount. It's especially minor in light of how much he just got out of debt. But here he loaned this guy some money, and it's like, "Man, I need that money back." And so he grabs the guy and says, "Hey, you need to pay me back today. I need this money back." And the guy says, "Hey, I don't have it on me. I can't do it today, but with a little bit of time, sure, I can pay you back. I can do this, but I just can't do it right away, but I can do this." And the guy's like, "That's not good enough. I don't have that kind of time. You need to pay me back now." And he calls the cops and says, "Okay, you're going to come arrest this guy and throw him into debtor's prison. He's now going into slavery until he can pay me back everything he owes me." And of course, once somebody's life was disrupted like that, it became increasingly hard for them to ever get out of debt. But he basically just shuts the guy down. But somebody saw that. Somebody who knew what had just happened witnessed this exchange and witnessed this guy imprisoning his debtor after he'd just gotten out of a big, big debt. And so he goes back and this witness goes back and says to the king, "You know, Your Honor, Your Highness, you know that guy that was in here earlier and owed you all that money and you just let it go? Remember that guy?" "Oh, of course I remember that guy. He's a great guy. I was happy to do it." He says, "Well, he just had a guy thrown into prison, into debtor's prison, and enslaved for a relatively small amount of debt." And the king became indignant. He went, "What? What? I mean, I'd forgiven him, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars or whatever. And this guy, that's how he turns around and treats other people?" He goes, the king says, "Get that guy back in here." And he gets the guy back in and he says, listen, "I forgave you a huge debt. And then you turn around and you are a jerk. You turn around and you can't show a little mercy when I showed you great mercy. Tell you what, guy, that's it. We're done with that. Your debt is not canceled. Because if that's your approach to debt, then okay. Then that's the approach we'll use. We're going to use your approach. Guards, arrest him. And he doesn't get out until he pays back every last cent he owes me. And by the way, I still would like to forgive some debt, so I'm the king. The guy he arrested, his debt's forgiven. Let him go. And then Jesus ends the story. And he says to Peter and his disciples, that's how it works with God. Your forgiveness and his forgiveness are linked. Whoa. This puts Peter's first question into kind of a stark context. Because he had asked, how many times do I have to forgive my neighbor, my brother, when he sins against me? I mean, the guy's wrong. Do I have to do it 7 times? Can you imagine if that's what we said to God? God, can I have 7 times of forgiveness? And after that, you can just charge me with whatever after 7 times. Oh my goodness, I wouldn't make it through half a day. And I don't think any of us would. 7 times is nothing. Now, Jesus wasn't saying that his ability to forgive us was dependent on our ability to forgive others. That's not what he meant. What he was saying is, if you truly understand how much I have forgiven you, you will therefore forgive others. We are not earning his forgiveness, but his forgiveness creates forgiveness in us. Our understanding of God's forgiveness can be revealed and is measured by how forgiving we are. And that's pretty stark too. That's tough, isn't it? Because, I mean, there's some things we'll let go. Some things we can forgive. But sometimes people have really hurt us. Sometimes people have done bad things. And they were truly bad. I mean, not minimizing the crimes that can be committed against us, in our, whether it be our honor, our virtue, our physical bodies, our resources being stolen. And people can do horrific things to us, and then to forgive them, well, hey. Except, again, we look back, and here's Jesus, and he's been falsely accused. He's had a sham trial with paid witnesses. Now he is being hung on a cross. He's got the death penalty, and the worst death penalty they know how to do. This is cruel and unusual punishment. And he's hanging there, and he's hanging there because he's been framed, set up, lied about. It's a travesty of justice, and he's hanging there. And, of course, he's perfect. He's God. And he's hanging there, and he says, Father, forgive them. They don't understand what they're doing. Well, did they not understand they were killing him? Yeah, they knew. But he forgave. So what are you holding on to today? Are you waiting for an I'm sorry? Do you understand how much God is willing to forgive you? Are you willing to let go of your thing? Let's think on that today. Thank you for listening to the Corner of Truth and Life. This has been a broadcast of the Beans Corner Baptist Church, located at the corner of 133 and 156 in North J. We would welcome you to join us each Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. for a service of music and challenge. If you would like to get more information on the church, listen to this show, past shows, or other messages, please visit us on the web at beanscorner.org or find us on Facebook. Thank you for listening, and we remind you to seek truth. This is Pastor Ira Hall. Have a great day.